Hello everybody, and I figured I'd just do a quick video outlining the essential reading that someone needs to understand 40k lore in general, but particularly the new lore, the new age that we're in now with the rise of Kilimon. So I think this is twofold really, understanding the lore and understanding the new situation. So, before we get into the list of books I think you need to read, I want to just talk briefly about the Eisenhorn trilogy. I think that's essential reading. I've discussed it before, so some of you probably already know. And for new people, I definitely recommend you go and check it out. It offers a unique perspective. And particularly at the time, it was the first book that really gave that perspective of away from the front lines, within Imperial society, that sort of thing. Definitely worth picking up. It's a 4-book series at the moment with a plethora of short stories. But if you get the main 3-book omnibus, Order Xenos, Order Hereticus, Order Malleus, and also the latest novel, The Return, Magus, the novel there, which does contain all of the short stories. A lot of these are audios books as well. In fact, I think pretty much all of them are, except for some of the short stories. So you can just go audio book wise. But anyway, on another point, there is the Gaunt's Ghost series, which is the longest running series that they have. Of course, there is Horus Heresy, but I think a lot of people come into this lore, this universe, through Horus Heresy these days. So I don't want to go on about that. I want to just talk about the current lore, you know, the foundations of this universe, even though the Horus Heresy is. Okay, so the reason why I've selected certain novels here, novel series and so on, is because I feel that these are the best way of seeing the sort of the wider scope of the universe and how everything's kind of connected. And I think these books do the best job of creating a cohesive sort of narrative, I guess, in the wider sort of context, because these books seem to be the most aligned with the major story arcs, or at least founded some of the major story arcs. And they also are awesome, and they really give you a view of the amazingness of this ridiculous universe that we all know and love. So, the first book is an old one, but has been recently re-released, but I think it's essential, and particularly with how the lore has gone, Storm of Iron by Graham McNeil. So let's just read it briefly. Hell has come to Hydra Caudatus. A massive force of terrifying Iron Warriors have invaded the planet and lay siege to its mighty Imperial Citadel. Can the defenders hold out? And just what do the traitors want with such a seemingly insignificant world? On the nightmare battlefields of the 41st Millennium Universe, a few foes spark more fear and dread than the Chaos Space Marines. Nurturing a hatred that is millennia old, they attack without mercy, spreading terror and destruction in their wake. Now hell has come to Hydra Caudatus. For a massive force of terrifying Iron Warriors, brutal assault troops of Chaos have invaded the planet and laid siege to its mighty Imperial Citadel. But what prize could possibly be worth so much savage bloodshed and destruction? And how long can the defenders possibly hold out? Now, this tells the story of the Iron Warriors invading Hydra Caudatus, which is an Imperial bastion, an Imperial fortress, and it's an amazing tale. And I don't want to give too many spoilers away, but fundamentally it is a storage facility for Gene Seed. And by taking this facility, the traitor legions gain access to a vast amount of Gene Seed, which is essential for the creation of Space Marines. Now, I want to see a sort of follow-on novel where it directly covers this. We have, of course, the Uriel Ventress novels, which link into this because of the character who becomes the warsmith of this Iron Warriors force, Honso. So it's really a sort of essential novel to go into a vast area of the lore. Now, a lot of people have a problem with Uriel Ventress because they're not Ultramarines per se. They don't feel like Ultramarines. He's thinking outside the box. He hasn't got that rigidity. But on the other hand, the lore's kind of shifted through Heresy and so on, that the Ultramarines aren't necessarily that. I don't know. Those with interesting thinking are not necessarily looked down upon. They are quite prized. But it rubs people the wrong way, which I can understand. But this novel itself is fantastic and tells an amazingly brutal story of the siege. We see characters from the Heresy return, and we see the ascension of a demon. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. And I highly recommend it. Okay, coming in next, we have The Wordbearer's Omnibus. Now, the Word Bearers are a legion that doesn't get as much attention as you would expect from being the first to instigate the Chaos Rebellion to, you know, one of the most powerful Chaos forces, to be honest, and definitely the one that's more... They are more united than any other. For instance, they don't necessarily join the Black Legion. They are pretty much still a united Legion force. And that is because they're the most faithful. They are believers. They're fanatics. That's their thing. So this series tells the story of the 34th host under First Acolyte Marduk. And if we read this here, the Word Bearers are among the most feared and reviled of all Chaos Space Marines, fierce warriors with a fanatical religious zeal. They blaze across the galaxy in the service of their dark gods. Worlds will burn and entire civilizations will fall before the fury of the Legion. In the dark days of the 41st millennium, the First Acolyte Marduk leads his fanatical warband, the 34th Host, in service to the ruinous powers, and with but a single goal, to tear down the Imperium of Man. And this is why it's... Okay, it's got so much, like, over-the-top chaos-worshipping goodness in it. It also has one of the best sort of battles, campaigns I've ever seen. There's also a sort of reviving arc that Necrons are involved in this. But with the lead-up to the sort of end of the 41st millennium, you've got this guy running around doing his thing. And you can feel the sort of the shifting of time in this novel. I feel, anyway. And again... Anthony Reynolds is a very accomplished author. He's very good. And how he portrays the White Consuls, who will return in another novel that we will see later on. So you see, it's all connected. This is definitely worth a read. And it's value for money as well, because if you can pick up this omnibus for fairly cheap, you'll get three novels and a short story. And all of them are fantastic. And they really capture that chaotic energy, that fanatical faith. And the battle scenes are fucking amazing. So definitely highly recommended. Next we have Lucius, the Faultless Blade. With his armies exhausted by unending war and consumed by their own twisted iniquities, Lucius the Eternal turns to an erstwhile brother of the Emperor's Children to rebuild his strength. Now, this is by Ian St. Martin. I think this is probably one of the best books that I've seen him write. And it is great. There's a number of short stories associated with this novel series. It only ever got the one book, unfortunately, and I'm hoping it'll get another one in the future. But we meet Lucius again, and if you're aware of the Heresy, he's a major character in there, and you see him now how he is as an absolute degenerate nutcase. But it tackles the thing of, you know, his gifts, how he can't be killed. We have him fighting Dark Eldar, which is brilliant. There's some amazing just Chad moments with Lucius caning off Dark Eldar lords and so on. It's definitely worth a read. It's fantastic, and everybody I've spoken to who've read this, they love it. You definitely need this in your life. It's essential reading, particularly if you're a fan of Heresy, if you're a fan of the Emperor's Children, if you're a fan of Chaos, and you can see the sort of paths that champions of Chaos go down and the costs that they pay for their glory. It's truly great, and I highly recommend it. Next, we have Lucas the Trickster. Now, I was a latecomer to this character. It's not been around for that long. I know, pretty long, but in the long scale of my existence as a boomer, he's pretty new. But I've really taken a shine to the guy. It's Josh Reynolds, right? So I like Josh Reynolds because he's got a good sense of humour. It's not super serious, I guess is what I'm saying. But it is at the same time. There's some really deep moments in this novel, and I'm not just saying that, it's true, there is, you know, when Lucas is sort of waxing lyrical about the meaning of life, I guess you'd say, the purpose for himself. This is the book you need if you want to see a Space Marine with character and personality and some sense of the future. Lucas himself is a person of strife. He is assigned to different Wolf Lords, and basically he attacks their weakness, which is fundamentally pride. You know, a lot of the Wolf Lords act like lords instead of wolves, which is what their purpose is. But it's full of beautiful, really excellent moments. For instance, there's one moment where Lucas is observing his brothers having a feast. And he says, you know, Leman Russ did a terrible thing to us. He tricked us into thinking that we were warriors rather than, you know, transhuman super soldiers. He made us think that we were warriors, and he gave us this culture to live by. But you can see why he would do that, because it gives them structure, it gives them purpose, it gives them meaning. But, you know, Lucas is not, he's not hidebound by that tradition. He can see it for what it is. And that's why this is such a good series, and that's why you need it in your life. And it's funny, and it's awesome. And I'm hoping that there's going to be another Lucas the Trickster book coming out soon, a sequel to this. There's a couple of short stories associated with this series, so definitely pick them up as well. But yeah, Lucas the Trickster, fantastic book and definitely worth reading. Particularly, I think this character is going to play quite heavily in the future, particularly when we get novels which cover the Space Wolves now in the current setting after everything that's happened to their home planet and so on, and the events that happened during the 13th Black Crusade and so on. So yeah, definite must read. Now we get to the last sane man in the universe, Fabius Boyle, Primogenitor, which is book one of the Fabius Boyle series. A fantastic book. I mean, I would put this higher, but there are other books that I want to talk about as well. But this is amazing. Absolutely amazing. You really get a vision of who this man is. And, you know, depending on how you consider it, he is actually the last sane man in the universe. He is probably the oldest surviving space marine in existence. There might be some members of the Custodes. You know, Belisarius Kor is probably older than a Primarch, potentially. You know, and also I am given to the conspiracy theory that Belisarius Kor is a clone of Fabius Boyle run rampant. But there's been a number of books which have had Fabius Boyle in them and series, and I don't think they've ever captured the spirit of the man properly. And Josh Reynolds, fantastic writer. He has really done that. He has taken this character and he owns him. He's made him everything he is. Now, the series continues. There's a second book and it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. We meet some amazing characters. He interacts with the Necron Lord. I can't remember what his name is. The Collector. But I think that this character is going to be really important to the lore of the universe going forward. And I think he's going to be getting a new model release soonish. And yeah, with the sort of, with the whole Primaris question, and are the Chaos Guys going to get sort of something similar happening? And everything that's happening in this book with him producing a brand new species of human using genetic research and stuff that are resistant to Chaos, in fact, because he's got a really low opinion of Chaos. You know, he thinks that he sees it for what they are. You know, he's not being tricked. He's not being fooled into this. He is like still a believer in the Imperial truth, fundamentally, which is why he considers himself the last sane man. He's just not held to the same moral considerations that other people. He's like a certain doctor from a certain period in 20th century history with power armor and almost unlimited power. And if he dies, his consciousness goes into a clone, or at least a clone is born with the consciousness of him from the last moment he downloaded himself. So it's so good. It's such a witty book as well. If you like jokes, if you like clever stuff, if you've got an interest in sort of genetics and history, I have never read in any of this stuff and thought, oh, that's wrong. To be fair, everything that he mentions, like about the science and things, it actually does make sense, at least to me as a layman. It doesn't sound off. You know, you read these things sometimes and you're like, that doesn't make sense, that's not scientific. This captures that, and it feels right, you know? Obviously, it's over the top, it's 40k, but still good. And it's left us on a bit of a cliffhanger with what's going to happen in the future with this story. Fabius Boyle, well, that's spoilers, but basically, he's set to become one of the most powerful individuals in the universe. So I want to see what happens with it, but definitely start here, Fabius Boyle, Primogenitor, and you can pick that up as well. Now, the next one is Shroud of Night, which I think is a book that slipped by a lot of people. It was pretty much the second book to be released in the new sort of setting, and I definitely recommend reading it. It's by Andy Clark, and I really enjoyed it. I've never read any other of his work, I don't think, but it's really good. Now, let's listen to the blurb so you can see what I'm saying. Upon the oceanic hive world of Sedraka, the darkness of the Noctis and Eternia is held at bay by the golden light of a unique beacon. Yet as sharks are drawn to blood, so the ravening warbands of the heretic Astartes circle the planet, warring to claim this rich prize for the dark gods. Now one of those warlords has deployed a secret weapon to end the deadlock. Khazar, and his elite band of Alpha Legionaries, the Unsung, must infiltrate the planet, using all their cunning and warrior skill to overcome the planet's defenders and corrupt the beacon. They need to work fast, for none other than Khan the Betrayer himself has come to lead the final assault. As a rising tide of apocalyptic warfare consumes Sedraka, Khazar and his brothers must race for the prize to be consumed by the fury of the storm. Now, this is a really fairly complex novel to talk about quickly. There's a band of Alpha Legionaries. They're stuck on a planet. A ship comes by. The Chaos Lord in command of the ship, the captain, offers them... well, basically, it's like a deal. You know, you fight for me as mercenaries and I'll rescue you from this planet, which you've been stuck on for ages. And they've just been through a giant war of extermination on this planet and they're the only survivors. Oh, it's too complicated. But basically, we get some amazing stuff with Alpha Legion things. We meet Khan. We meet Saint Celestine, and we hear some good stuff about that. Now, Andy Clark has just done a novel covering Saint Celestine, and which I'm going to read soon, so I don't know what it's like. But this is definitely one of the first times I've seen Saint Celestine as more of a character rather than just a prop, as was in the Gathering Storm sort of campaign books. I do recommend this. It's got some amazing moments. This siege of this planet is brilliant, and the interactions between the Alpha Legions are really interesting. You get a taste for their internal culture, I guess you'd say. And their relationship with Chaos. But we also get a nice view of how the Imperium is, how things are going with the forces of Chaos now running rampant. And this is, of course, on the dark side of the Imperium, split off from Terra by the Great Rift. So it's essential reading if you want to understand the current state of things. Definitely get it. Now, let's get to the first book of Aaron Dembski Bowden. And only book, actually, in this series, which is surprising, because for a while he was the best guy, putting out the best work. But that has changed slightly, and we'll see as we go into the next couple of books. The Talon of Horus is the first book of the Black Legion series, and not enough can be said about this. I don't want to go into super detail, but it covers the finding of Abaddon, who's been in sort of self-imposed exile since the end of the Crusade. And since the end of the heresy, and his attempts to create a brotherhood again, it's truly great. And the next book really builds on this. We also meet Iskander Kion, who is a fantastic character, and he's now a prisoner on Terra. So where this is all going to end up, I'm not sure, but it definitely does a fantastic job of covering the creation of the Black Legion and what the traitors have been up to, their existence within the Eye. It really builds on that. So yeah, I cannot say enough about it. You need to pick this up. You need to read this series. And this is the first one, The Talon of Horus. Next, another book, which I think has been overshadowed by other things. I mean, a lot of people have read it, but no one really talks about it. And that's really odd to me, because this is probably the most informative book we have on what's happened in the Imperium since the fall of Cadia. So it covers the events leading up to the fall of Cadia from Terra, from the Terran perspective, and uncovers a vast conspiracy by the Black Legion to cut Terra off from the rest of the universe, from the warp, using Blackstone. So it's really drawing on a bunch of elements from the lore and using them in an amazing way. We also see the rebirth of the Sisters of Silence in this novel. We also get amazing Custodes action, so we learn a lot more about them. But yeah, it is fundamental. It's telling the tale of how the Imperium avoided utter destruction just a little bit. And the return of Gilliman as well, as he comes back just at this crucial moment. So you definitely need this. If anything, I would say this is probably one of the most important ones to make sense of things. If you've come from the old lore before the fall of Cadia to this, this is the book that will really get you over that, that will be the bridge for understanding the situation of things. But again, this series that Chris Raitt is doing, and Chris Raitt, amazing author, Chris Raitt is doing a fantastic job with the Watchers of the Throne, the Emperor's Legion, as it's really giving us information that we don't normally get, particularly about Terran politics and what's going on there. But let's read the blurb and you'll see what I'm saying. The Custodian Guard have stood watch over the Emperor's Palace on Terra since the foundation of the Imperium, charged with protecting the Master of Mankind from all threats within and without. Their fearsome resolve is renowned throughout the galaxy, and their golden armour is the last thing that a would-be assassin or saboteur will ever see, alongside the Null Maidens of the Sisters of Silence, who are anathema to psychers and sorcerers alike. There is no threat the Golden Throne that they cannot vanquish until now. Ooh. The Adeptus Custodes of the Emperor's Praetorian Guard. It doesn't really go into what's actually in the book, which I think is why a lot of people didn't bother with it. But it's essential. You need this in your life. So definitely go and pick this up as a priority. Now, I've put this in because I think it is the best book of last year, of 2018. And I haven't read any book since then which has come close this year yet. I'm hoping that there's a certain book coming out covering Belisarius Core by Guy Haley, which will be as important, which will be as in-depth, which will be as deep. This is The Lords of Silence by Chris Raitt. So let's read the blurb. The Cadian Gate is broken and the Imperium is riven in two. The might of the traitor legions, kept shackled for millennia behind walls of iron and sorcery, has been unleashed on a darkening galaxy. Among those seeking vengeance on the Corpse Emperor's faltering realm are the Death Guard. Once proud crusaders of the Legionis Astartes, now debased creatures of terror and contagion. Mighty warbands carve bloody paths through the void, answering their Lord Primarch's call to war. And yet for all their dread might in arms, there is no escape from the vicious legacy of the past. Ones that will pursue them from the ruined demon worlds of the Eye of Terror and out into the smouldering wastes of the Imperium Nihilus. Now, I have done a review of this, and I think I did a reasonably good job of capturing everything, but Lords of Silence is fantastic. If you want to understand the mentality of the Fallen, of those who've turned to Chaos, particularly those who've turned to Nurgle, and the existence that they lead, and how, from their perspective, things aren't that bad, then this is it for you. This is the one for you. We also see the culmination of the destruction of the White Consuls chapter, or at least a vast majority of it. If they exist still, they're going to be Primarised up. That's the only way they're going to survive. But this is great. We see the interactions between them and loyalists, and how their faith is their it's really difficult to explain, but it's definitely worth it. It's actually pretty deep and interesting, and there's so many excellent moments in this book. I cannot go into it enough. I've done a review, like I say, that'll explain it more, but definitely one of the best books of last year. Really, really was. And yeah, you need this. You need this. You will not look at Nurgle guys the same again. But yeah, Papa Nurgle loves us all. Okay, let's get to The Devastation of Baal by Guy Haley. Again. Okay, so Lords of Silence, it was just better to me. It was a more interesting book, I guess you'd say. If I want to like level them out, Lords of Silence is better than this, but Devastation of Baal has such incredible moments and amazing information. And it was one of the first books to actually even vouch the problem with Primaris and normal Marines interacting, which is a whole issue which hopefully the lore writers, the novelists, the writers are actually going to start addressing, because it is a massive problem. They've really written themselves into a hole. But this covers the culmination of a vast series of books covering the Blood Angels and so on that have been going on for a couple of years, and it's the moment when High Fleet Leviathan invades Baal, and they've been pushing against the Blood Angels for a very long time. We also get a moment, well, we see so much interesting shit, all right, with the Blood Angels themselves, with their successor chapters. They're on the brink of destruction. We get more time with Dante, which again, you should read the Dante novel, but The Devastation of Baal is a quality read. Absolutely essential. You need this to understand the current setting. So it's set just before the creation of the Great Rift. And as the Great Rift comes, we get some amazing moments with the Tyranid Hive Mind as well, which is something that we haven't really had before. It learns about death, basically. It suffers badly. But it's drawing on a lot of stuff from the old lore, from the Heresy as well. Kay Banda, the Bloodthirster, returns. We get some amazing stuff with the Flesh Terrors, who are a favourite of mine. Chapter Master Seth really shines through in this novel as just a fucking absolute badass. He's a machine. It's amazing. And yeah, you need it. You definitely need it. So highly recommend it. And next, of course, and I'd say the number one, if you want to understand the new setting, if you want to understand 40k in general and what's going on, is Dark Imperium by Guy Haley, which covers the Primarch Rebute Gilliman struggles with the present. So it's not really, it's about 100 years after it's the end of the Indomitus Crusade. So we get that moment where the Indomitus Crusade formally ends, and this vast crusader fleet of his breaks apart, and he takes a good chunk of it back to Ultramar to begin the Plague Wars, which are ravaging the 500 worlds. But this novel really gets... We see Gilliman's perspective and opinion on the Imperium and what's happened in the 10,000 years since he was wounded. And we also get the moment where he does fight Slaanesh at the start of the book, where he takes his wound and falls into unconsciousness, where he's dying and they put him into stasis. So we get his perspective on all of that, which is fucking incredible. It's just amazing. So this is brilliant. We get Gilliman is a far more complex character than you wouldn't necessarily expect. I mean, with the Heresy, obviously that's built up his character and so on. But in this, we see him after that, after all of these horrors have been committed, and how he still has faith in the future. And we get nice stuff with the politics of things. He's been removing planetary governors. He's been attempting to reform the Imperium. We get him meeting the Emperor, and we get the amazing moment where he realises the Emperor doesn't actually give a shit about him. The Emperor just, like, when he comes into his presence, the Emperor's just, like, assaults him with his mind. And he's so happy to have him back, like a tool. Like a tool that he thought was lost, and now he can put to use again. And this, you can see how this deeply wounds Gilliman. But then again, it's like, well, the Emperor's been trapped in a frame for 10,000 years watching everything fall to shit. Or is it? Or is it all part of the plan? Who knows? But, we get some nice stuff with the Primaris. We get some amazing stuff with Kaul. And Kaul becomes a really fascinating character in this because of just how he is. There's an AI that's involved. But, yeah, this is the number one book to read. If you're going to read any of these, you need to read this to at least understand the current setting. But the last four books I've talked about are definitely in the current setting, in the current situation. If you want to understand that and the sort of everything that's going on, you need these four books. But this is definitely the most important one. Essential. Truly essential. And just quality. Guy Haley knocks this out the park. Plague War was okay afterwards, the next one that comes out. It wasn't as good as this. Because I think it didn't really cover as many subjects as this one does. But it does it in a fantastic way. In one novel, we learn so much about how things are going in the Imperium, how the state of affairs, I guess, and how the Imperium is being held together, and what Gilliman is trying to do, and how he's still not necessarily a good guy, but he's the closest thing you're going to get to a good guy, I think. Aside from Salamanders. I know, that's what everybody says whenever I say this. But you know what I mean. He's sort of that classical Romanesque, you know, good guy. You know, like, it's difficult to explain. You need to read it. Yeah, quality stuff. And this is the book that really stopped me thinking of, I guess the Heresy stuff has done that as well. But definitely this one made me think, you know, Gilliman, he's all right. He's all right. So yeah, these are my recommendations for books you need in your life to understand the current setting of 40K. To get up to date with how the lore is. There's been a number of retcons over the years, but I think by reading these, you'll get a pretty solid foundation of what's going on in the Imperium. Again, honorary mention to the Eisenhorn trilogy, that's essential. Honorary mention to the Kaifas Kane series as well, but that's less important to the sort of overarching lore, although it is fun. Anyways, thank you very much for watching. If you want to pick these books up, most of them are available as audiobooks, so use my Audible link below. Otherwise, follow the links and they'll take you to the Amazon pages for these books. And yeah, definitely go and pick them up. Or at least Dark Imperium, at a minimum. And then work your way back from there. But yeah, the audiobooks are generally, a lot of these I have listened to on audiobook. And I have to say, they do a quality job now, Black Library. It's really entertaining, it's really engrossing. So I can't recommend them enough. But if you want to get the physical books, there's links below. Otherwise, thank you very much for watching. I hope you've enjoyed this. I just wanted to really talk about some of my favourites and what I think is important to understand the current setting, because I don't think enough people talk about this, because things have changed and you need to understand that. It's not the same as it was. And it's, some ways that's good, in some ways that's bad, but mostly I think it's for the good. And some of the lore inconsistencies with the Primaris I think are going to be addressed soon. So, yes, it's all happening. It's all great. It's all good. But hopefully you enjoy this novel selection. If you do go out and buy them, I highly recommend it. Okay, thanks very much for watching, and I will see you next time. Please remember to like this video. Let me know below if you think I missed anything, and if you're not subscribed, please do subscribe. More stuff to come soon. All right, cheers. Bye.